There is a chestnut that I've used often in religious life, and I've heard often enough in religious life, and it goes like this. What do you call a person who lives with a saint? A martyr. This must have made Dominic's home life ample opportunity for martyrdom, as we celebrate not only Dominic as a saint, but today commemorate Blessed Jane of Arza, his mother, and later in the month also commemorate Blessed Manes, his brother. Three saints in one family must have been ample opportunity for martyrdom, but only if our idea of sanctity is a painful one, and unfortunately it often is. Today's first reading is from the book of Leviticus, and Leviticus is often a stumbling block to many readers, since it sounds more like a butcher's manual than it does like an inspired book from God. Yet it is a very, very important book. In the context of the time it was revealed, the religions surrounding Israel often had very painful ways in which to approach their deities. You had to find out what the deity wanted. You had to pay an augur to read the livers of some important animals or their entrails to be able to discern what the mind of the deities wanted. And then you were fined some terrible thing and terrible sacrifice to put your case right with whatever deity you were worshipping. It was a long process of uncertainty between yourself and the gods that you tribally or culturally worshipped. And along comes Israel with a totally different point of view, with what is a revelation that we do not actually need to obsess about what God thinks of us. We know it. God thinks we are lovable, redeemable, and he will put his own life on the line in the form of Christ Jesus to prove this to us. The book of Leviticus, with all its sacrifices and commands for various functions and feasts, remains a very straightforward text. You know what sort of worship God expects. So the priests can't pull the wool over your eyes by demanding something outrageous, like the blood of all your children or something like that. Or that you go out and kill 10 lions and bring the pelts to the priests. They can't demand it because Israel's religion is accessible. Israel's service of God is accessible to all people who have access to their scriptures. There is no hidden law among the priests. There are no hidden and mysterious rites. Everything is described. Everything is upfront. Everything is transparent. And this is to allay the fears that we often have in our relationship with God. For the people of Israel, it was very, very simple. You did what God commanded. You didn't have to obsess about your relationship with God, because what God commands is clear, simple, and straightforward enough. And therefore you knew your case with God could be healed by simple actions and could be strengthened by very simple actions. There was no hidden knowledge that you had to pay your way through the priesthood to discover how to make God happy. And also many Hebrew scholars will tell us that these laws in Leviticus are there for a people who have a very childish idea of God. They demand that God comes to them in the way they expect, demanding sacrifice, demanding service, demanding all sorts of laws of purity. And God condescends to give them these laws so that the people's understanding may be drawn beyond a fear to relate to God and be drawn into the relationship with God, which is liberating, which is freeing, and which is also upbuilding of community and caring of the poor and the least in society. What God offers us in the book of Leviticus is in fact a liberation from our own perverse views of how gods work. It sets us free to be able to enjoy God. But it is very difficult for us to come to this realization that our relationship with God is one of simple joy and not of an obsession about rules. The rules free us for joy. The rules comfort us that we can actually keep them. And it is this liberating joy that we see in the way that Jesus deals with the people of his own time. And because this liberating joy does not fill their expectations of a martyrdom of sanctity, they judge him very harshly. We also see the same liberating joy in the life of Dominic, which meant that his household life was not a martyrdom, but in fact a liberation toward God. All the witnesses around Dominic's canonization speak to us of the joy that Saint Dominic had. They speak to us of the permanent glow on his face. They speak to us of the beauty of his eyes. All of these things, some inherited, of course, and some part of the gift that Blessed Jane of Aza gave him as mother, and the gift of family life with somebody like Manes. It was this gift of joy and sanctity which made of St. Dominic the preacher of grace and the preacher of mercy in an age where mercy seemed to evaporate and the painfulness of sanctity denied the liberating gift of God that we read about in the book of Leviticus and that we see in the life of Jesus. The readings encourage us to put aside our doubts about what God really wants, to simply enjoy the relationship with him, which will guide us in the way we should go, which will uphold us in a holiness that brings joy and integrity to the world, and that will help us to minister to one another, to the most outcast, the most lonely, and the most afraid, with a message that God's life and a relationship with God can be enjoyed. There is no martyrdom where there is sanctity. Amen.